Welcome to the Wednesday night Ladies Bible Study for the Fishman Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishmanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Wednesday night Ladies Bible Study. In Grace Ranch, Texas, we have the core group. We've got Robin Atherton. How are you doing, Robin?
I'm fine, Rick. Thank you.
We also have Ann Utzler. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Ricky. Hello, everyone.
And we've got Megan there as well. Hello, Megan.
Hello, everybody.
And way off in the distance, we have Karen Hawker out in Vermont. How are you doing, Karen?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Rick.
Okay, ladies, I'll let you guys take over.
Thank you, Rick. So tonight, we're going to start the book of Ephesians. And it's an important book, one that most of us are familiar with, but one that I hope will establish some things in us as we go through it that we might be able to walk more faithfully in Him to the furtherance of His will. So without further ado, Karen, if you would read verse 1, chapter 1. Oh, before I start, there is on the Fisherman Ministry website a teaching on Ephesians 1. I believe everybody would be benefited by going through it slowly. It's many pages, but the importance of that, of this book in understanding some things is worth taking the time to read that. I'm not going to go through all that's in there, nor should I, but it's there for all of us. I believe it's under the teachings title or and it's a study on Ephesians 1. So, Karen.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus.
Okay, there is a colon there, but we'll stop for a moment. Here, Paul is identifying himself, who he is in Christ Jesus. He is the writer of this book in the sense of he's bringing the word of God to the Ephesians on a particular subject. Paul is an apostle of Jesus Christ, and his apostleship is by God's will, plain, simple, and period. And it's important to note that because God has given him authority that we need to take heed to. And he's writing this book to two separate groups, the saints which are at Ephesus. Now that does not include any of us. We are not in Ephesus. We are not the saints at this time in Ephesus. And these were people who believed the word of God at Paul's mouth and believed on it. So they not only received it, but then they obeyed it. And to the faithful in Christ Jesus includes all that fit that category of being faithful in Christ Jesus. And that is basically, again, like the saints of Paul's time who are at Ephesus, they believe on Jesus Christ and they do that which he commands. And one thing about the ability, so to speak, to be faithful in him, he has to be first in our lives. Whenever he's not, we are not. And one of the beauties of God's plans for the redemption of us is that he really does make it simple. He has given us those throughout time. And we're reading the time in the early part of the time after Christ. and Paul's the apostle, but he is a faithful God who has always had his people to bring the truth to those who will hear. Always. He has today. And we will probably see that, but we know that Paul himself is an example. In the early, when Jesus walked the earth, he had 12 disciples, one of whom was of the devil. So after his death and resurrection, he had 11, who were the original, if you want to call it, apostles. And they, in their wisdom, not in God's wisdom, thought they had to replace Judas, and they thought the criteria was that he had to have been with Jesus and with them through that time. So they brought up two people and cast lots to see which one. God had a different one chosen already, and that was Paul. And Paul never walked with Jesus when he was on the earth. We know this, and we also know he did not know Jesus was his Lord until Jesus revealed himself to him. So Paul received the revelation of Jesus Christ even as the 11 did, and even as those who have come after directly from Jesus Christ. But the criteria that the original apostles thought, and it's natural, was not God's criteria.
And if they'd actually thought about it, they would have realized there was nobody. Because there were times when it was just the 12. So the other two who they brought in were not present at those times.
Yeah. Like the Last Supper, for instance. Good point.
I just posted in the chat the site for the teaching on Ephesians 1.
Thank you, Anne. Sue had likewise done it. So those who have come in after, which is actually just you and Karen, and actually the Camp Kitchen, the Grace Ranch crew, it's there. But it is in the teaching section, and I think we'd all benefit, so I hope people take advantage of it. And the other teachings, you know, it's a reminder to me of how much information is there that's good to reread at times.
Yes.
And did you have anything you would like to add to verse 1?
No.
Okay. Karen, verse 2.
Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay. Here Paul is extending two things to the saints which are at Ephesus and the faithful through today in Christ Jesus. Not to everybody. There could have been other people in the church at Ephesus that heard this epistle who were not those whom Paul was speaking to. Just like there can be people, I mean, in our fellowship that are not necessarily fitting this criteria. I'm not saying there are, but there were probably people who gathered together had not yet become faithful.
That's true.
Or were not yet saints. But to those who were, Paul, in his position and authority, on behalf of Christ, who was no longer on the earth, but he was his representative, was extending the grace of God, that favor of God, and peace, that cessation of war and reconciliation to God, to these people. And it's from both God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who are one. And he's giving it from both. But one thing that I thought was really interesting years ago when it was put this way, Paul was an ambassador of Jesus Christ. So are all those who are faithful in Christ Jesus. And as an ambassador, you recognize that you're not of this world, just like an earthly ambassador is not of the country that he dwells in. He represents the country. And that's, for me, was a good way to see it. It puts it in a perspective that you can kind of sink your teeth in, for me. It may for someone else. But we are not we are not if we are faithful of this world.
That's right.
We are of his kingdom, and we are representatives of it. So once again, remember that he's speaking specifically to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And he extends grace and peace from God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're going to see as we move forward here, when we see the word our, and it'll become clear when we get to verse 13, I think it is. Whoops, and I just lost my online Bible. Let me get it back. He's not talking about you and me in the hour there. We're not included in that, so to speak. He's talking about the others, apostles and prophets. And so, Megan, I'm going to have you start reading, if you would.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
Okay, stop here. We'll probably go a little bit verse by verse. So, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's once again referring to himself and the other apostles and prophets. But the other apostles and prophets, because you figure in the Old Testament there were no apostles, and yet they were the same people, if that makes sense. Apostles is a New Testament word, and the word apostle is, you know, they're one that is sent. They're a messenger. They bring the word of God, and it's straight from God. And to prove my point, so to speak, blessed be the God and Father of our, the Paul and the other apostles and prophets, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We aren't blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places from God the Father and Jesus Christ. We are vicariously, I think it's the right word, if we hear that which they preach and teach. That's their job. Our job is to recognize that's their job and to give heed to it, even as we would if Jesus Christ was the one who was speaking to us. He was the one that spoke to them, and they faithfully then speak it to us. But it was given to them. And so as we go down here, it's a natural thing. Our flesh gravitates and likes the idea that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings. No, Paul and the other apostles were blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So if you continue then.
According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
Okay. And then if you read 5.
Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will.
6.
To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved.
Okay. So here Paul, once again, talking about himself and the other apostles and prophets. They were chosen before the foundation of the world. Now that's this world that we dwell upon, this world. And that doesn't mean I was predestinated and chosen. I wasn't. I was a seed of Adam that came only on this earth. But it's a teaching that is really not for us to do right now, but it is one that we can send you to some teachings on that. I don't know if it's in that Ephesians 1 Bible study, but it might be. But Paul and the other apostles were chosen before. That's why when you look back at when Jesus speaks to his disciples, he said, you know, God gave you to me and I have kept you. They were particular people. that were given unto him had already been chosen for that purpose.
And it's in John 17.
It's in John 17. Okay, thank you. And he chose them before the foundation of the world that they should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, how does that work? Because, and I say that kind of as a question to think about, because Paul, the other apostles and prophets were sinners just like you and I, and yet they are going to be holy and without blame before him. By what means? We're going to read it in verse 7. If you want to just read it real quick.
In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace.
Okay. That's how they could be blameless. It's because he shed his blood for them.
Speak.
That's how he could be blameless, because Jesus Christ shed his blood for them.
That's right.
They believe the gospel. And so, in so doing, they are holy and without blame before him in love. Now, there might not look, a lot of other people might not be in agreement with that place they stand in. But it's true, whether you're in agreement with
That's
it or
right.
not.
It's just so right here.
Yeah, yeah. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Now, once again, that is through the blood of the Lamb. They were adopted unto God. Their salvation is the same as those who believe our salvation. And this is according to the good pleasure of God's will. God set, you know, he has a plan, and his plan was, as we know from John 3:16, because he loves his creation, that because of that, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whomsoever believeth should not perish but have everlasting life. And it's important to recognize that just because you say you believe, it doesn't mean you won't perish. It says that if you do, you shouldn't perish.
Right.
And it comes down to that choice of obedience, and not only to the gospel. I mean, that's the most foundational one, because there's so many things that interfere in our in our own selves personally with the simplicity of the gospel. I mean, we can look at ourselves and find ourselves condemning ourselves because of how faulty ourselves are. And yet, that's the whole point of the gospel, is we are faulty. And we see in Paul, if you read him, he gives testimony to needing to do the same thing he's telling us to do. Hebrews 12, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, he uses the word us there, meaning you and me and him, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. He isn't excluding himself, like he is above this battle.
He even says himself he's the chief of sinners.
He said he was the chief of sinners. He said in Philippians, where he talks about this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, that press on to the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So Paul walked the walk that he is talking, but so do we. And
I'm going to interject something here about predestination. They were chosen before the foundation of the earth.
Right.
To be God's ministers, to be his apostles and prophets. Davey has said before, and I'm sure he has said it in services, if you've been predestinated, you can do it the hard way or the easy way.
Yeah.
Because you will eventually come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and accept him and accept your role in Jesus. And if you look at Paul, and what he was doing before. And let's face it, it was the hard way. He got knocked off a horse.
His high horse.
His high horse. That's where that statement, that phrase comes from.
Yeah.
Jesus talked to him right there, and then he was blind. And he reached that point where, okay, you're God. I'm going to do what you call me to do.
He still did it the hard way after that. I'm going to Rome. Don't go to Rome. I mean, Jerusalem. Don't go there. Don't go there. I'm going to Jerusalem. The Lord says, don't go there. He goes anyway. The Lord says, go to Rome. He went to Jerusalem. He got to Rome.
I would say in a way, and you guys comment on this, I would say Peter did it the hard way more than Paul. Because, yes, Paul wasn't perfect. But he was zealous in his service to God. And, yes, he went to Jerusalem when the Spirit had said three times separately, nobody who said it, one of those three was present with the other, that if he did it, what was going to happen? He'd be bound. But Paul, if you stop and think, he did that, and yet he didn't get tripped up in his service to God, if you see what I'm saying. I know that one of the things that is most important is to quit getting tripped up because you screwed up, if that makes sense. Now, Peter was one that showed he'd get tripped up because he screwed up. I think that's the harder way, in a way. Now, I think Paul, it appears to me Paul had the harder life, but he says in, might have been Galatians, that he would know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I've thought about that, because to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified is what we have to walk in, because if we walk in anything else, we're going to get tripped up. One day we do good and we get tripped up by pride. One day we do bad and we get tripped up by pride. You know what I'm saying? But no matter what, you know, I mean, Paul served God in the gospel faithfully without getting tripped up. Now, going, when he went for the vow, that was not faithfully serving the gospel, but he didn't get tripped up, if you see what I'm saying, because he didn't stop serving God. Bless you. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
Because serving the Lord isn't never making a mistake. Serving the Lord is never getting off the fact that you're going to make mistakes. Continue to stand, press forward, and serve him. And like when he was on the prison ship, he told them, don't go out. They went out. But, you know, it's cool because you got a centurion, I believe, the guard there, who recognized that Paul was right the first time and listened to Paul after that. Because, I mean, it's kind of wild if you think about it. Don't let the crew get off on those boats, you know what I mean? So they cut him off. Well, that's pretty amazing if you think about the situation. And yet people began to believe. He gets on, everybody makes it to the island. He gets bit by a viper. Everybody, all the island people are thinking, surely he's a murderer. He survived the sea, but he's going to die. And it was nothing to Paul. And here he was. He'd done wrong. He's a prisoner because he didn't obey. And yet he didn't cease from standing in the position God called and ministering to people, even so. And that's the easy way. Does that make sense?
Well, Peter, when he denied Christ, he definitely
struggled.
He struggled after that. And he struggled until Jesus appeared to them in Galilee after his resurrection.
I thought it was interesting that he denied Christ and then Jesus had that conversation with Peter. Peter, do you agape me? Do you love me? Mm-hmm. Yea, Lord, I phileos you. Peter, do you agape me? Yea, Lord, I phileos you. Peter, do you phileos me? Yea, Lord, you know. You know, it's one of those things.
He still didn't grasp who Jesus really was. He knew And he even said it in one place in the Gospels.
Thou art the Son of God.
That you're the Son of God. But I don't think he really grasped what that meant.
The implication of who he wasn't. Mm-hmm. And the salvation, nonetheless, that was there for him. And we know, as you were saying before, you come the easy way or the hard way. He was going to make it. And if you read 2 Peter, you really see almost the same kind of conversation or epistle as Paul writes.
Yeah.
And it is in no way to negate Peter. I mean, he was the one who was present when the Lord brought in the Gentile church through the baptism, through the salvation of Cornelius, his household, and those that were there, and then their baptism in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
He was present for that, and yet he had to be rebuked by Paul. Big deal. He got out of it. He heard. He did. He gives testimony to our brother Paul. I mean, but these things were struggles for him. And I know I can relate to having struggles with things.
Oh, definitely.
I mean? Paul was more zealous to know only Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That was like the central point for Paul. And so when he screwed up, that's what he chose to look at, and so must we.
I know, it's the seed of God, which is the predestinated. They are going to be, they're going to come into the ministry that God's called them to come into. They're going to have salvation through the blood of Jesus, and they'll become a minister and do what God's called them to do. And they really, the hard way or the easy way. And you have the seed of Adam, which are the majority of people, including me and all of us sitting here. That's a choice. You can say yes, Lord, or no, Lord. And that's totally up to you. If you end up in hell, it's your fault. It's no one else's. Because everything is out there for us to see the salvation that Jesus offers us. Even nature speaks of it. So there's really no excuse to not accept it, other than your own will. It says, I'm not going to. And then you have the seed of Satan. And unfortunately, they have no choice. Judas was one.
Pharaoh was another one. Esau was one.
Yes.
You know, our safety and why Ephesians is such an important book is I can't keep myself. And God isn't going to keep me outside of His way that He has set for me to be kept, and that is through His line of authority, of which Paul, an apostle, was to the Ephesians and others in his day. For us, we have that line of authority, Davy, Steve, and each of us then kind of branch out in ways from others. We're not under everybody, but we all are under Davy and Steve. In different manners, in some ways, like he's my discipler. That's not, you know, I mean, I know that he has a lot of other seed disciples, but he doesn't disciple Amch, and know that we need to hear it. So God is bringing unto us that which we need. If we won't hear their correction, their chastening, their exhortation, sometimes to hear that you are accepted can be as hard to hear as you're doing wrong. You know, but we have to learn to believe, and the safety that we have is through obedience to them and recognizing their job for our sake.
And it comes down to, it's a choice.
Mm-hmm. We're not going to, I will say this personally, I believe it to be true. We're not going to make it if we're going to eschew God's line of authority and think that we're just somehow special and so knowledgeable and can discern our own hearts and intents and all that kind of garbage and go our own way and call it good.
And then you're deceiving yourself if you believe that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because none of us are that.
And all of us are under authority. And that's the, and it's important for us. Apostles are under authority. It just happens to be under the authority of Jesus Christ, or under an apostle who is under the authority of Jesus Christ. Timothy was an apostle under the authority of Paul, who was under the authority of Jesus Christ. Now, when Paul passed on, Timothy now would have been under Jesus Christ. And an example of this would be Moses and Joshua, because Joshua was taught by Moses. God told him to. But when Moses no longer was with the children of Israel, Joshua stood in the exact same place.
That's right.
A great example of how we're all under authority is Jesus Christ, as a man on the earth, was a man under authority. He was under the authority of his Father.
Yes.
And the centurion recognized that because he too was under authority. So anyone out there who thinks that they can walk the walk of faith without having a covering of some of a
according
somebody,
to what God has given
right,
unto
the
them
Lord, in his ways, you need to get on your knees.
Because like both of, well, all three of you, Karen, hello Karen, Megan and Anne are all married, so they're under the authority of their husbands. That doesn't exclude, like Karen is not, Megan's married to Steve, Anne's married to Davey. Karen's married to Charlie, but she's under Charlie, but she's also under the line of authority of Davey and Steve. Now that doesn't undermine Charlie's authority, but we'll see in later on in Ephesians that the apostles are given to perfect us. The husbands aren't, although if we're going to circumvent being under our husbands and being in subjection to them, as I think it's in 1 Peter 3, we deceive ourselves if we think we're in obedience to Jesus Christ and can walk it. But the thing is that God has given us a way that if we will exercise ourselves by it, by that choice that you've brought up multiple times, Anne, we will learn that which is his ways, and will, when we're in heaven, we will already know them, we'll know that they're right, we'll know that you prosper under them, and we'll be able to stand there.
Amen.
But without that, we really deceive ourselves. So we all deceive ourselves sometimes. We all don't hear sometimes. We all reject sometimes. We all do all manner of things. And I'm not justifying it. I'm just saying it's the truth.
We're all stupid.
Yeah. And but if you think you have any rightness, justification, or anything when you do that, that's the error that'll take you to hell.
That's right.
That's the error. So when it's brought to your attention, you ought to listen.
The thing is, we're all going to mess up. We're all going to screw up. And you need Romans 7. You know, I know we went over it not too long ago. Everybody read it again. Paul says we are going to. But you don't have to be controlled by it.
You make a choice of who you're going to serve.
That's right.
And he very clearly says, your flesh is going to serve the law of sin. So you're going to have to get over your flesh, quit getting tripped up about it, and choose to serve the law of God. Now, when you were talking earlier, one thing, when you talked about Jesus being under authority, one thing that you see there with Jesus being under authority and walking it perfectly is he loved the Lord his God above everything, including himself. And that's why, that is how we can do likewise. Now, we're still going to sin. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying we're going to be Jesus. But the only way is of obedience, really, is to love God above everything. And that's something he will bring us through. And an example of that would be Abraham. Because in the day God tested him, or proved him, might have been the word that's in Genesis, with Isaac saying, go and sacrifice him. God's testimony was, now I know that you will withhold nothing from me, I think. But you see, that's because Abraham loved God more than anything else.
Yeah. And that's the place we need to get to.
That's the place that's, you know, that is exactly it. And we, even over his son. But Abraham also knew the nature and love and word of God. So he knew God's obligation on the other side. But I don't care how you put it. If you imagine yourself in that situation and you like to think you'd be like Abraham, well, you might, I mean, praise God if you are, but pretty certain you have a ways to go. Maybe all of us. I don't know, I can't speak. And I'm not saying those above it, I'm saying those, you know.
Well, what about the smaller things? What about for the ladies? I don't know, getting your husband a cup of coffee. See, if you can't do the small things, then the idea that you would go and sacrifice your son if the Lord told you to do it is a lie. Because you show your faithfulness in small things, and then he makes you ruler over greater things. And the same with your faith. Your faith grows and your obedience starts in little things. That's how it is.
It's just like with children. You, Joe has more responsibility because he's learned more obedience and responsibility, so to speak, than Abigail. But the one thing about serving your husband a cup of coffee, it's not just a matter of serving him. It's a matter of serving him with love and joy. If you got to recognize, not that we always are joyful, because like you might get up and are exhausted. I know you were the other night. You had a very late night and woken up very early in the morning. So it's not like you're like, oh, good, let me jump up and do everything for everybody, you know. But by the same token, you do it in love, even if your natural man is like struggling to feel good about anything at a particular time. So there is a joy in the service God has called us to, if we'd only see it. Does that make sense? And if you don't have it, you're really more like Hagar. She submitted unto Sarah, but she was cast out.
And she evidently wasn't very nice to Sarah either.
So. What's that?
She wasn't very nice to Sarah either.
No. But it doesn't say she didn't submit. No. She just didn't do it with the right heart, that's for sure. She didn't. And it can be a struggle, because sometimes we can naturally go through feeling lesser, put down, we're not worth it. I mean, I don't know, fill in the blank. We all have our stupid things, but you have to just recognize that's a bunch of garbage and give it no place. And sometimes we need somebody to point out that we're walking in a bunch of garbage and get rid of it and give it no place. But that's the love we have one to another, if we will stand up and walk in it. It's what God calls us to do.
I don't even know where we left off.
I do.
Seven.
Yeah. Which actually Megan read, in whom we have redemption through his blood. We, there is Paul and the other apostles and prophets, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, God's grace. It's all the Lord's doing. So, Karen, if you'd pick up on 8.
Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself.
Okay, stop right there for a moment. That once again has we've got a couple colons coming along here, meaning the sentence or the thought is not finished. But just making sure we are reading it correctly. Once again, he's not talking about us. God has not abounded unto you and me toward us in all wisdom and prudence directly, like he has the Apostle Paul, the other apostles and prophets. Once again, we can be the recipients of that which was given to them, because it was given to them for our sakes, but it comes through them. And it was unto them that the mystery of God's will was given, and still is unto them. Because, stop and think about it. If the apostles died, in the sense of when the last apostle Paul and Peter and James and John and, you know, on down the line. When they died, that was the end of that, and yet it was unto them that the revealed word came. Then for the last 2,000 years, we've had a state of, I mean, God really would have left us in a state of anarchy with no out. But he hasn't. Now the church is in a state of anarchy because they have rejected the fact that God has these people here.
In authority.
Yes.
I want to jump ahead a little bit because we keep talking about apostles and prophets and mystery of God. And Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4.
I was going to go there.
Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, and this is Paul talking, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So when we talk about, this was written, what we're reading right now, to the apostles and prophets, and here we come to the, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, that
it's right there.
That's the second witness.
Yeah. And
and we'll get to that.
I know
eventually, but I just
and he goes on where you see the purpose of them, which we are already speaking about, but that will be the second witness.
Yeah.
But the icing on the cake, as also, is when we get to verse 13, when he switches it.
Yeah.
If you will read it in. Just simply as what it's saying, you, there is a switch made, which implies go back and make sure you got the first 12 verses right, because he switches who he's talking about, which then includes us. Okay, now he abounded unto them, the apostles and prophets, in all wisdom and prudence. So he left nothing out. Nothing at all. Now, I don't mean to say they know all the things of God, but all that are needed for us was given unto them, all of it. Nothing left out. It's all there, but it is revealed. And I'll give you a recent example. Last year, when Davey preached in South Carolina two Sundays about the mystery of the veil, that was the revealed word of God. It came through an apostle. It did not come through Robin or Ann or Megan or Karen or Carrie or Charlie or whatever. It came through Davey. And he made known the mystery of his will, God's will, according to God's good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. And the one thing you also have to get a handle on is God made a perfect plan because he loves man, his creation. Perfectly. He didn't come up with the hardest plan he could, because if that was true, I mean, if you want to look at it that way, then he put his only begotten son through the hardest thing he could imagine. That wasn't what he did. He put him through, Jesus had to go to the cross and carry the sins of the world because there was no other way. And he set up a way that is right to bring us into a right place and know him as he is and walk faithfully in that. This is the plan that can accomplish it. He didn't do it to be mean. He did it because we need it. And it's right. So, and he purposed this in himself. It wasn't just a, like we can be sometimes, fly off the handle thing. He recognized man and what he would do, sin, rebel. So he made a plan that, with the knowledge of that, whereby we can nevertheless be redeemed. But then he wants to shed us up, being ruled by sin and being rebellious, which is sin. That's the part that we're talking about. It only comes through obedience to those he has given us to perform that task. Did Karen read 10? No, she didn't. Karen, if you'd like to read 10 and 11.
that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will.
And read 12.
That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ.
Okay. So now, when he talks in 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, things might gather together in one, that God, might gather together in one all things in Christ, so God the Father might gather together in one all things in Christ. So, you know, if you look at the difference between the Old and the Old Testament had a revelation. The New Testament had the full revelation, because the Old Testament didn't have the death and resurrection and the baptism of the Holy Spirit as we do now. And they really didn't. That was me moving stuff, if you heard a sound. It's not like, even though there was prophecy about it, it's not like they just knew everything that was going to happen. They knew what they knew. They knew what was given to them. They believed it. Right?
Right.
But when the time came, Jesus was born. When the time came, Jesus, having walked in perfect obedience, could become that sacrifice that was without spot to take our place, pay for everything we've done and everything we will do, including when we walk in unbelief, when we walk in doubt, which is unbelief, when we walk in rebellion, which is sin, when we walk in pride, which can take us to hell, you know. Doubt and unbelief will too. It's, we got to come to that perfect faith where we believe him, which goes back to Paul. Paul knew nothing but that, because that was the only hope. That is our only hope. We have no other hope but believing in the sufficiency of what Christ done, and that everything he said he is able to perform. He is able to perform.
Amen.
We have a part in that, but if without him, we can do nothing. And there is going to be the gathering together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Without a doubt, the Old Testament saints rose, that Jesus went when in those 3 days when he was in hell and preached the gospel to them, and they rose with him when he rose. That was the gathering together unto him. It's not done yet, is it?
No.
That fullness of time is not completely full. And we're going to see that kind of thing more as we go through Ephesians. And then he goes on, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Now, once again, he's not talking about you and me. He's talking about himself and the apostles and prophets. And when you think about Paul talking about himself, you know that is a humble statement to make, because he knows he doesn't deserve it. But it is true, and he chooses to believe that which is true with zeal, and so must we. They were predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. That goes back to what you said, Anne. They could do it the easy way or the hard way, but they were going to serve and do that which they were sent to do.
That's right.
And it's not like it's all about God, although it is in a way, but if it was all about God, he wouldn't care about anybody else. But God is God, and if we want to be his as God and in the wisdom of God, he has the right way to accomplish it. We got to come into obedience to it, and it's a fight, you know. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Fight the good fight of faith. To think it isn't a fight is to kid yourself once again.
Yeah.
to the being predestinated according to the purpose of Him, God, who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory. And that is who gets the glory in these men who first trusted in Christ. God trusted in Christ. He was the first. I mean, He sent them. And yes, He was the Son of God. And yes, He was from the beginning, but He came as a man and had to walk as a man and never fall, never disobey, never go His own way. And God trusted Him to accomplish that which He was sent for. It's a pretty amazing thing, I think. Pretty amazing that Jesus would walk in that kind of obedience all the way to being hung on a cross and being separated from His Father and carrying that by Himself. I look at it, you know, if any of us had to suffer a horrible death, we wouldn't be alone. Jesus had to suffer beyond any death that anybody could ever suffer in the natural. And He was alone.
He was totally cut off.
He was totally cut off. We would not be.
Stephen wasn't.
Stephen wasn't alone, no. But it's amazing, and He knew that that's what He had to do. I mean, and He chose to do it. We can beggarly in comparison to the Lord Jesus Christ. There isn't even a comparison. But that the apostles and prophets should be to the praise of God's glory, who first trusted in Christ. Now we're going to go ahead and stop in a minute after this next verse, and we'll actually pick up again on this verse. But I want to make sure it's clear to everybody the switch. So, Megan, if you would read 13.
In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of God, of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise.
Read 14, just to finish the
which part. Is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory.
Okay. So here you can clearly see, if you will, in whom ye also trusted. So that clearly states He wasn't talking about you and me. And He wasn't talking about the saints in Ephesus. He was writing to the saints in Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, but He wasn't talking about them.
That's right.
And when He talks about in whom ye also trusted after you heard the word of truth, and heard here, because so many people could tell you what the gospel is, but hearing goes beyond just being able to repeat it.
Or even just hear the words.
Yeah. Hearing means that you have received it, and that has become your hope. And you have chosen it as what you're going to know, as Paul did. You'll know nothing but the cross of Jesus Christ. That's what we have to know. And then you see here where He goes, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our, once again, going back to the Apostle Paul, the apostles, all the way to today, those whom God has ordained, and the prophets. All of this to the praise of God's glory. Now notice there, that's a statement. God has glory. He is, and He's worthy of that glory. And this is all to the praise of that glory. It's not spoken in high-minded pride. It's spoken in truth. God is love. And there is no darkness in Him at all.
Amen.
But we'll go back on 13. But it was good to make that switch so that... And you can go back. I even suggest go back and read the first... read the whole chapter 1, go back and read the first 12, what we've read tonight through 14, and see that there is a great distinction between the first 12 verses and the two we just read. so that you can begin to digest God's provision for us and receive the rest of that which Paul has written here. Amen.
Amen.
Megan, did you have anything to say? Karen, did you want to add something?
Yep. Amen.
Well, thank you everyone for joining us. And know that you're welcome to put questions in the chat if you have any. It's an important book, and it's one we need to make sure we get under our belt, because it's somewhat foundational in, well, it is foundational in salvation.
Amen.
Alrighty, well, may the Lord bless you.
Good night, everyone. Thanks for joining us.
Yes. Good night.
Good night.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.